What an honor for me to come to you today and bring you the message of God's grace. The message of God's grace has helped people all over the world and given them victory that they've never expected ever to get by their own strength. So, if you've just tuned into this broadcast of The Love Way, I want to welcome you. I want to tell you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the message of God's unconditional love for you. You know, you can only be as you think your God is. If you think that God is a strict, judgmental, angry God, you will forever struggle with your temper. But if you think that God is a God that's full of love, mercy, and grace, that loves people, forgives people, you will experience that in your own life. You will start to live that way. Amen. Well, we are talking about change. And the scripture that I want to get into today is 1 John chapter 4. I think in the first session I mentioned this, but we're really going to get into it today. Let me just recap on what I said in the previous broadcast. What we said is that change happened in Adam. When Adam changed from righteousness to unrighteousness, we also changed from righteousness to unrighteousness. When he changed from prosperity to poverty, we received poverty because we are in him. The very same thing counts for Jesus Christ. The Bible says through the disobedience of one man, many became sinners. In the same way, through the obedience of one, many became righteous. Man, that is good news. That means when Jesus received prosperity, we received prosperity. When he received healing, we received healing. When he received approval of the Father, we were approved of God. When he received it happened, it manifested in Matthew. When he received authority over heaven and earth and all the things in heaven and earth, he gave it unto us. He says, go ye therefore, for he's received all authority. That means we are in him and we walk in his authority. Man, isn't that awesome? That is exactly what happened in Jesus. So the change that we are going through is not a change that we must do. So many times we think that the New Testament Christian is somebody that got saved and then he needs to change his life to be like Jesus. That's not the truth. So many times people today, and I see there's a worldwide trend that people think that Christianity is people that want to be like Jesus, want to live like Jesus, want to talk like Jesus, that Jesus was their leader and he stood for this moral, good moral conduct, and that's all he stood for, and then we must do what he did, and then we are Christians. That doesn't make you a Christian. If you want to be like Jesus, it doesn't make you a Christian. It just makes you somebody that wants to be like Jesus. It doesn't make you saved. It's as simple as that. If I want to be a medical doctor, and if I want to be like a medical doctor, that doesn't mean that I am a doctor. That's the thing with Christianity. When we believe in Jesus, we become like him. We are in him. He indwells us. He lives through us. So just know this. There's this universal thing about Christianity that's going around saying that, you know, if you just want to be like Jesus, if you want to live good, live right, then you are, then you are a Christian. It's not the truth. I want to say it again. It's not the truth. And the problem in the church today is I found many people thinking the very same way. You know, I gave my life to Jesus. Now, the first thing is, we do give our lives over to Jesus. It's true. You give your death to him. You declare, I've given my death to you. But the thing is, it's more than giving your life to Jesus. That's not what gives you life. What gives you life is receiving the life of Jesus. When you receive the life of Jesus, you say, I've given up my life because by my own life, I will never attain unto righteousness. I will never attain unto blessing, prosperity, peace, joy, whatever. Excuse me. And you just feel, man, you can't do it. Then you receive his life. The moment you receive his life, you must be humble enough to say, I take your righteousness, Jesus. It's now mine. I take your healing. It's now mine. I take the authority that you have been given on the cross, and I know you freely give it to me. I take it. I say it is now mine. The prosperity you have, I take it. It is now mine. That is taking the life of Jesus, and that makes you born again. That makes you a Christian. Man, hallelujah. Isn't that good news? So, For us to be Christians, we need to receive the life of Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no way unto salvation. And I want to say this clearly. I want you people to understand it. If we come to Muslims, Hindus, all the different types of faith outside of Christianity, I must say this, and this is what the Bible says. If you don't believe in Jesus as your Savior, you are not saved. You are not saved. And so many times you might say, but what about other people that live good and they live holy, they live righteous? We are not saved by our works. We are not saved by works. You know how many Christians I've had come up to me and say, you know, Bertie, but there are so many Muslims that really live a more holy life than most Christians. How can they not be saved? And there are many Buddhists that's got such strict ways of meditation, they live such a holy life up in the woods and all those type of things, and they think they're saved. How can they not be saved? They live much better than us. Now, the moment you say that, you tell us that you believe that we are justified by our works, and you don't believe in the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, I do believe that Christians aren't there supposed to hate other religions. You're not supposed to go out hating people, have hate speech. You know, these stupid Muslims, these stupid Buddhists. Please, man, if you're a Christian, you know, have the attitude of Jesus Christ and love the person. Don't see a Buddhist. See a person. See a man. Like when Jesus walked and he saw Matthew, he didn't see a tax collector. He saw a man sitting at the tax collector table. Didn't see a tax collector. When you see somebody that practices the Buddhist faith, or what we will call a Buddhist or a Muslim or so, don't see this is a Muslim. No, see this is a man. This is somebody that Jesus died for. This is somebody that Jesus loves. And we might say, but how will the whole world ever get saved? I believe that if the world could get this message of God's unconditional love, what happened in Romans, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, will happen to us. Because this is the key to the heart of evangelism. If you want to have a heart for evangelism, if you want to have a heart to preach the gospel and tell the good news to people, this is what you need to have in order to have that heart. That heart doesn't come by willpower, by you working it up, thinking, well, you know, I've read Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. You, man, don't think because you read that and you take that as a commandment, you're going to have a heart of an evangelist. No, you're going to still have the heart of a servant, thinking, I must just serve God, I must just do this thing for God. Now, Jesus did tell us, go and make disciples of all men. But the heart from where it comes is supposed to be a heart that flows out of a revelation of what Jesus has done for us. And this is what Paul says. He says here, for the love of Christ constrains us, or pushes us forward. Why? Because we judge this, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live themselves, but live him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Listen to what Paul says. We know no man after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, verse 13, it says, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your sake. So Paul says, what we say and what we speak and what we preach, we do it for this reason, that the whole human race has changed because, or let me put it this way, our perspective of people has changed because we've got the mindset that if one died, then all are dead. So what Paul did was he acted according to the finished work of Jesus, even towards the unbelievers. So what he said was, he said, man, this person that is unsaved today, that believes in something else, he has already died for his sins in Jesus, because Jesus died his death for him. Okay? That means when I look at him, I look at somebody that's living in something that he doesn't have to live in. And that compels me. That's the love of Christ. The love of Christ was that He died for us all, so that all are now dead. That means that nobody needs to be punished for their sins. Now, I don't say there will not be an end time judgment, if you want to call it like that. I do believe there's a time when the Lord Jesus returns, when those who believed on Him shall have eternal salvation with Him on this planet. But then there are other people that never believed on Jesus, and without Jesus, the Bible clearly states that you are condemned. So, and the reason why I say all these things is because we make such a big emphasis of changing into living a good life, and then we think if we live a good life, we are saved. You can live a good life as good as what Paul the Apostle lived when he walked this earth. You can live a holy life like any person you can think of. You will still not be saved. You will still not be saved. You need to be what Jesus made you to be. You need to be in Christ in order to be saved. Your good works can never save you. You know, I watched something on the internet with Larry King and some gospel preachers. I don't want to call their names, but and Larry basically made a mockery out of people that say, well, you know, we believe that we are not saved by our works. Conduct doesn't work. And then he asked this preacher, a very big preacher, he says, are you a works preacher? And then the man didn't understand what he said. What do you mean? And then what he actually said, you know, well, I'm a works and a grace preacher. You know, you are halfway saved by grace and halfway saved by works. And that's the problem I see in a lot of people today. We are this halfway. Listen, I do believe that our works need a change. And this is what the Word of God teaches us. Our works will change. But change is not the number one thing on our list of to do today. The number one thing on our list to do today is just to know and experience the unconditional love of God, to have a personal relationship with God, and out of that, we will find a change in our lives. We will find a different way of living. We will find that change just happens to us. Amen. And if we've changed or not, that doesn't make a difference. You know, Paul said something that was so powerful in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let me just say this, read this quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or man's judgment. Yes, I don't even judge myself, for I know nothing by myself. That word, for I know nothing by myself, if you go and look into that, it says, I don't know anything wrong with myself. Now listen to this. He says, yet I am not hereby justified. Paul says, I don't know anything wrong in my life. But I am not justified by the fact that I don't think that I don't do anything wrong. The one that is my judge is Jesus, and He's the one that decided to tell me that I am free, to tell me that I am forgiven, to tell me that I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To tell you, you are clean, my son. I've washed you. You are clean. And that's God's word for us through Jesus Christ. Now, this is what Paul said. He doesn't even judge himself. And he doesn't even know of anything wrong. Doesn't know of anything. He says, but I am not justified by that. That doesn't justify me. If you don't know of anything wrong in your life, I want to tell you, that doesn't make you just before God. Hallelujah. I thank God for that, because that makes it easy for everybody to be saved. The only thing that must happen is we need to preach the gospel. You need to just share the gospel with friends in your area. And that must flow out of a revelation of that friend has already died in Jesus. You know how many people, and I just want to give a practical hint here to evangelism. You know how many people's lives has changed just through people taking CDs of what I preached and giving it to them? Now, maybe you don't like me. Take another grace preacher. Now, I want to put the emphasis on grace. Take another person that preaches the grace of God. Take his material and give it to people. Now, you can, at Dynamic Love Ministries, you can write to us. We will send you the stuff for free, man. For a donation of any amount or for free, we'll send it to you. You can download it for free from the internet, write your own CD or put it on a memory stick, give it to your friend. And just tell him about this unconditional love of God. If you don't know how to speak or how to say, there are many ways. Take your list of people that you've got on the internet that you send emails to and pray and say, Lord, thank you for showing me to whom must I send this link. And you send the link of the website. And people can get onto that website, a link of a message I preached. They can just hear. Normally what I'll do is the first 3-4 minutes I'll make very powerful, that when somebody look at it, they will say, man, this catches my attention. And that person can be saved through that by starting to believe in the message of God's grace. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That is, man, that's the life of God. That's the way we live as Christians. Amen. Now, the problem that I said we've got is, all the time we think we need to change because we put such a value on, and I believe this is why we preach this big thing about change, is because we connect our works with salvation. Therefore, we say we must change. I've heard people say that if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Man, that's not the truth. What about the man on the cross? As simple as that. What about somebody that gives their life to the Lord today or receives the life of Jesus Christ today and die the same day? Now, you cannot say that, you know, because it's a works thing. And Jesus is going to say, well, it's like this one man said to me, if you sin before you die without confessing your sin, you're going to go to hell. So I said to him, and this was also a church leader, I said to him, you know, Pastor, what happens if I'm on my way to a crusade? I've just left off a place where I prayed for somebody. He had cancer. And I said this because I knew this man was works orientated. So I just painted the picture of the good works. And I said, what happens if I just prayed for somebody that had cancer? He got healed. I led him to the Lord. I'm on my way to a gospel crusade to go and preach the gospel for 10 or 15,000 people. And on the way, a car rides right in front of me. And I say a swear word. And I hit that car. And I die. What happens? You know what he said to me? He said to me, well, then you're going to go to hell. Man, can you believe that? That everything Jesus Christ done upon the cross, he bases and he built on the foundation of my ability to do everything right, to save me. Man, then nobody's going to be saved. Because somewhere in your life, you've got unforgiveness towards somebody somewhere. Everybody. It's just like that. You're going to have imperfection in you until you find your glorified body. Until your body is saved. Until you can walk through a wall. Until you're not hungry anymore. Until you can fly wherever you want to be. Until you live as an immortal in this world. And one of the things, when I know you're immortal, is I don't think you've got gray hair coming out the side of your head. And I don't think that you've got wrinkles around your eyes. You will, man, when Jesus appeared in his immortal body, people fell down onto the ground. It was awesome. The presence of God was there. That was it. So I want you to know that as long as what you don't have that, you're going to find wrong things in your life. And never think that if you don't change all the wrong things in your life, then you're not going to be saved. It's not the truth. Now, we need to know two things in order to be saved. And I'm going to just mention that quickly. To change. We need to know two things, and this is also for salvation. 1 John chapter 4, it says in verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So what does the Bible teach us? It teaches us that we need to be born of God and we need to know God in order to love. Now, if we love, now listen to this. If we love, it's the highest form of life in this world. There's nothing higher than love. If you walk in love, if you're willing to give up of yourself for somebody else, and not just out of your own power, but out of a revelation of Jesus, it's the highest form of life. And if we want to take the love life as perfection or living the perfect life, and this is what it says here, I think it's in verse 17, herein is love. Is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. And also says here, there's another scripture that says, if we walk in love, then love has been perfected in us. So, say we've got the perfect understanding of the message of grace, to the point that we really walk in love. Let's look at that as perfection. So, say you are here and you want to change to this place. This is the way for change. This is what you need in order to change. You need to be born of God. Now, if you don't know what it means to be born of God, I've got a wonderful series called Born of God. It's also on the website. Download it for free if you want. It's called Born of God. You must be born of God. It means that God must live in you. And you must know God. Now, there are people that can be born of God, but they don't know God. And that's just the way it is. So we need to know God for who He truly is. Now, let's go to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. So, what I'm trying to say is very simple. Number one, we are born of God. Number two, we need to know God. If you don't know God, it will keep you away from change. You want to change, but if something can stop you to know God for who He truly is, you will not be able to change. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For after that the wisdom of God..." Listen to this. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now listen to this. The wisdom of this world keeps you away from knowing God. The wisdom of this world is what keeps you away from knowing God. You need to be born of God and you need to know God in order to change, in order to walk in love, in order to have the highest form of living on this planet. You need to be born of God and you need to know God. Now, when you are born of God, you believed in Jesus, your life changed. Now, when you need to know God, there are certain things that keeps you away from knowing God. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world..." Listen to this. "The world, by wisdom, knew not God." Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is what can keep you away from knowing God. And that can keep you away from change. Colossians chapter 2, verse 23. Let's read from verse 20. "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances or rules or laws, like touch not, taste not, handle not? For these rules all perish with the using, after the commandments of men and the doctrines of men." Okay? "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglect of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." So what he's saying here is that all these rules and regulations, touch not, do not, don't handle this, don't handle that, that's called the wisdom of this world. That's the doctrines and the laws of man. It's called the wisdom of this world. So laws, do's and don'ts, what, don't touch this, don't handle this. Oh, you must be very careful not to have a Christmas tree in your house. Oh, you must be very careful not to watch the Passion of the Christ, for Mel Gibson was a Roman Catholic. Oh, this, oh, that. You know, you get so many foolish things that people say these days that you should not touch and do. Otherwise, you're not going to, be pleasing unto God. That's the very thing that keeps you away from knowing who God is. So the wisdom of this world, the rules and regulations, will keep you away from knowing who God is. Now, in the next session, we're going to just take it up right there. And man, it's just going to bless you. You can get the next session on the website already. It's uploaded. So if you can't wait until next week, you can watch it. Man, thank you that you've joined me, Bertie Brits, in this broadcast of The Love Way. God loves you and God bless you.